or good evening. Somebody said to me earlier when they about good morning. I said, "Well, we're something, but I don't know if it's morning or not. But it's easy to get used to what you normally do, which is I'm up here in the morning. So it seems like good morning." We talked this past weekend about Christmas and about if it was true, then it meant something. It was going to change something for us, and we needed to understand that this was really God coming near us. And tonight, I hope that we understand a little bit more about why he came near. I do think it's easy sometimes to celebrate Christmas because of the birth of Christ, but we need to understand that the birth of Christ was God entering humanity's history. Yeah, this is coming to earth, dwelling among us. So it's important, because if this is true, then it changes everything. And it should change everything for us. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to read our verses and deliver our message. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful. Grateful people that you have entered our history, our lives, our service. Lord, that you are near to us. That you have made the moves. And now it's up to us. How do we respond to your nearness, to your salvation, to your forgiveness, to your redemption? Lord, we celebrate tonight the birth of Jesus, but sometimes I think we fail to recognize just how close you are every day. Christmas might have started this journey that we're all on. But I pray, Lord, that we understand how near to us you are, how willing you are to engage. Lord, you have made the first move. Help us to make the second one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If this is true, that's the title of the message today. The verses come from John 1:1-14, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." We celebrate tonight the words from Luke in 2:8-11 that says, "In the same region were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Sunday we talked about the claim of Christmas, not the feeling, not the tradition, not the nostalgia, the claim that God came near, that the Word became flesh, that the Creator stepped into creation. And if that's true, which I believe it is true, then there's a question we can't avoid as we celebrate Christmas, and that is, why did he come? He didn't enter the world simply to observe it or to watch from afar. He didn't come merely to sympathize. He came on purpose and for a purpose. The announcement was for ordinary people. He picks shepherds to tell this story to. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. If you were writing the Christmas story, shepherds would not have made your list. They were pretty much outcasts of the society around them. They were uneducated. They were socially overlooked. They were religiously suspect. They didn't follow many of the religious rituals or the things that the temple would have told them that they needed to do. They lived outside the city. They smelled like their work. They were rarely invited anywhere, yet God chose them first. God announced salvation to people who didn't look impressive. Because Christmas is not about impressing God. Sometimes I think we think it is. We put on our best. We come out to celebrate Christmas, hoping we'll impress God. Christmas isn't about impressing God. It's about God's nearness to us, his willingness to bridge the gap, to reach out a hand and take ours. Some of us probably, I know I did for most of my life, would have fit in the shepherd category. I was not impressive. I wasn't socially acceptable. I was far lost. Luke 2:10 says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Not for some people, not for religious people, for all people. What Christmas is for, if the question was asked, is Christmas is not for people who have it all together. It is for people who don't and know that they don't. Christmas is the celebration of the fact that we no longer have to make our way to God. God has made his way to us. If shepherds are invited, no one is excluded. The offer is available to all of us. Jesus came for a very specific reason. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Notice the angel didn't say a teacher. He didn't say a philosopher. He didn't say a role model. He said a Savior. Matthew 1:21 says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Sin is not a popular word, especially today. Anytime you say anything about sin, instantly people think you're being judgmental or calling them out for something that they do that you don't do. When I was an unbeliever, I used to love the phrase and the verse that says, "Judge not, lest thee be judged." And I would throw that up anytime someone pointed out a sin in my life. I'll tell you, that's the wrong application of that verse, but still, it was one of the few verses I knew, and I used it. Sin is not a popular word, but it's an honest one. Sin is not just what we do wrong. The passage that tells us he will save his people from their sins doesn't mean he's going to save us from bad behavior, things we do wrong. He's going to correct the things that we do wrong, and suddenly we'll be good people and in right standing with God. Sin is not just what we do wrong. It is the condition that separates us from God. changing our behavior wasn't going to bridge the gap. If there was going to be the gap bridged, God was going to have to do it himself. And Christmas is God refusing to leave us in that place of separation. For the unbeliever, Jesus didn't come to shame you. He didn't come to lecture you. He came to rescue you. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." For the believer, we're supposed to never forget what we were saved from, or what we are saved by, or what we are saved for. Christmas should keep us humble. God came low so we could be lifted. God came down so that we could one day go up. Jesus was born to a poor family in an overcrowded town, laid in a feeding trough. That's about as humble as it gets. The God of the universe, the creator of the world we live in, born in such conditions. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Not financially rich. That's not what he's talking about. This isn't name it and claim it night or prosperity gospel night. This is a remembering what it took for us to be saved, which was for God to come to us. He came to make us spiritually alive, and in that spiritual life, to recognize the riches of his grace, to be rich in mercy. It was the rescue that requires descent. I don't know if you've ever... I like watching shows, rescue shows. They have like documentaries on different rescues that they do. And I've noticed one thing, that if you're going to rescue a drowning person, you have to get in the water. Someone has to get in the water. You can't rescue a drowning person without getting wet. Christmas is God stepping into the water to save us, a drowning people, in the sin that separated us from him. Jesus didn't shout salvation from heaven. He stepped into the water. He dwelt among us. He entered human history to reach out a hand of salvation to us, to me. That's why I really do believe Christmas demands a response. After the angels left, the shepherds had a choice. They could have ignored it, went on and not done anything, wrote it off as some kind of hallucination or something else. It tells us in Luke 2:15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went. They didn't debate. They didn't delay. They just responded. Maybe for you in your life, you've heard the message of the gospel plenty of times and you've delayed and debated and put it off. I would encourage you to make Christmas the day you respond. The question for us is the same as it was this Sunday. What will we do with a Savior who has come near? We celebrate him tomorrow morning. We're going to tear open packages, spend time with family. We're going to do all those things. But what will we do with the God who came near? Will we take the hand that's being offered to us? Will we reject it? If we reject it, he's not to blame for our perishing. We are. He came down. He got in the water. He offered the hand to the drowning person. If they refuse to take it, that's not his fault, that's ours. But if we do take it, salvation is waiting and has been waiting for more than 2,000 years. The shepherds didn't understand everything. They simply came. They simply accepted the invitation to go and see, to know who they were told about. That's still the invitation of Christmas. For those who believe, Christmas is the reminder that you are forgiven, you are loved, you are sent. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Because we have accepted the hand of salvation that was offered to us, we are now new creations in Christ. For the unsure, you may not know everything. You might still have questions. You might even feel unworthy. I'm sure the shepherds did as well. But the invitation is still open. The hand is still outstretched. Salvation is yours for the taking. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Receiving Jesus is not about joining a religion. It's about trusting a Savior, about taking a hand that is outreached to you as you drown in the sins of your life. If this is true, if God really came near, if Jesus really came to save, then tonight could be the night everything changes for you. Not because you cleaned yourself up, not because you earned anything, but because Christmas is the celebration that God came near. He is right here and available for you tonight. Light has come in to the darkness. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's where the candles for candlelight service come in. One light spread to many without losing any of its strength. Shining a light out into the world that we carry inside of us in the person of Jesus Christ. The world is still dark. Pain still exists. Loss still hurts. But Christmas declares that darkness doesn't win. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. If that's true, then everything can change. It's the celebration we have. It's the reason we're here. It's the joy that we share. It's the peace that we enjoy, is knowing that God dwelt among us and continues to dwell among us. So I hope and pray that that's Christmas for you this year, that you know and experience the God who came near. Because he is here and he is stretching his hand out. It's up to us whether we will take it or not. As we move to our time of communion, I want you to remember that the price that was paid, what he came to do, was he came to die for our sins, to pay the price we couldn't pay. To be buried and then raised again to prove again that darkness doesn't win. So as we go to our time of communion, I would encourage you to remember that God is near. God is true. You can choose to trust Him today. And in the handout that you got, there's a space where you can indicate if that's a decision that you've made tonight. It's not a pressure-filled thing. It's not an obligation. It's just an opportunity. You can meet the God who came near. And for those of us who already know Him, who have already met Him, it's a great time for us to recommit ourselves to following Him, to walking in the light, pursuing Christ. And I hope that's what Christmas will be for you this year. If I could get the deacons and those that will be helping with serving to come forward, we'll begin our time of communion. It's a little bit different this time. We're going to be making one pass around. You're going to get two cups. They're going to be stacked on top of each other. The cup, one cup has the bread. You pull out the juice on the top of it, you'll see the bread. We'll do it all together once everybody's back to the front. But I'm going to pray for us, then I'll distribute the stuff. They'll go out and hand it to you. All right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful. We get to come together, celebrate your birth, celebrate the fact that you have stepped into human history, that you are right here, this you are accessible to us even tonight. Lord, we're grateful for your redemption, for your forgiveness, for your reconciliation. Lord, I'm grateful that you came to pay a price for us, to pay a price for me. Lord, you have rescued me. And I pray, Lord, that this Christmas, that's what we celebrate, is what you have done. You are a great and mighty God, worthy of our worship. May we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.